Welcome to Small Town Tales, a podcast where we hear stories of the paranormal, haunting legends, and all things spirit. Join us as we explore the unknown. Now, here's your host, C.L. Thomas.
This is C.L. Thomas, and you're listening to another episode of Small Town Tales podcast. This episode is going to be just a little bit different with the setup and with the topics. It's not going to be the usual. So first, I'd like to start out with two news items that I have. One is congratulations to James Anito of Duo Demonology. James, for those that know him, he's got a baby that is supposed to be born any minute now. I keep checking back with him and there's still no baby, but baby's due any minute. Big congrats to James. I know he's anxiously waiting for his new son to be born. Other news, which I thought was really interesting. Fort Knox in Prospect, Maine. Everybody's heard of Fort Knox, right? Is known as one of the best preserved examples of historical coastal defense from the mid-1800s. Everyone that's into the Civil War knows about Fort Knox. Well, this summer is your chance to go and investigate at Fort Knox. They have opened their doors this summer as an ongoing paranormal investigation that they're running. And I think it's only this summer, for this summer only. Their ghost tours are running, I think it started this weekend, and it's with a group called Friends of Fort Knox Tours. And I think it's supposed to be a fundraiser for some renovation or something that they're doing. But it's an actual group that's doing an experiment, like a real scientific experiment. So if you're up in Maine and you love Fort Knox, get on out there and do this tour. It sounds super cool. My guest for tonight is Brian Bohaw. He is a member of the Paramigos in Southern California. And he's also founder of Small Town Tales Adventures. And Brian has become one of my favorite people in the paranormal. And we met quite by accident.
Yeah, we sure did. So I guess we can start out how we met. Huh? We met in a bar, of course. But we met in Goldfield, Nevada. And I was going on a paranormal tour of the Goldfield Hotel with Nick Groff and about 75 other people. And we kind of did a meet and greet. And then afterwards, they gave us about a two-hour window where we could go get something to eat. And so Goldfield, if you've ever been there, they have one restaurant and then they have a bar. And so decided to go to the bar. And lo and behold, I sat next to C.L. Thomas and a couple other people. And the rest is history. You know, we just kind of met and we've been talking ever since. And it's been an exciting venture so far.
And what's so weird about this meetup by chance is because I wasn't there as part of this ghost hunting that they were doing. I never even heard of Nick Groff at the time. I had no clue who he was, didn't even care, to be honest with you. I was there. I've been filming for a film project on ghost towns, and Goldfield was on the list, and I was staying in Tonopah at the time. For some reason that night, I think it was like the only bar that was open or something, and that's why I ended up at this bar in Goldfield. It's like the only thing that you can actually go to in Goldfield, right?
Yeah, like in the morning, there's a place that does breakfast and lunch, but they don't do dinner. And so that's it. You can go to the one place or the other in that town. I mean, they don't even have a gas station there. I mean,
no.
You know, they have a graveyard, a really creepy hotel that you know, is really haunted. And then they have a school. And that's about it. As far as I remember, I mean, like I got a lot of old houses and stuff, but it's such a cool place, you know.
Oh, I think I remember how I ended up there. I was hanging out with Leela at Tonopah the night before, and she said, "Hey, meet up with us. We're about to do this ghost tour, and we're breaking for dinner." And it was on my way home. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
And so I stopped at that. And then I remember, I'll never forget, we go there expecting dinner. And the only thing they had on the menu was chicken wings and pizza. And the lady
fried
pulls
shrimp,
out
fried,
a what?
Fried shrimp.
Oh, that's right. Do you remember she pulled the frozen pizza out right from under the bar?
Yes. Yes.
And they microwaved it or something.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Behind there, that area. And I don't know. That was interesting. But hey, you know, when you're hungry and that's the only place to eat, that's where you eat, you know? So let's not go steal something and cook it yourself.
Man, there's just nothing in that town. So how did you get into the paranormal? Well, you've been doing this a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, so I've been doing this for about 10 years. Prior to that, I was a non-believer. I thought it was all just a bunch of crap, to be honest with you, a bunch of weird people. I had some health problems, and I literally almost died. And, I came out of it, and when I came out of it, I was out for 2 days, and I don't know what happened to me. Like in that time that I was passed out, but when I awoke, I had a completely different idea of the paranormal. I was infatuated with it, and I have been ever since. Something happened, and one day I plan to kind of try and find out, you know, what happened. But
do you know what happened? Like, can you talk about anything?
Yeah, so I had a stroke. I got lucky. I was at the hospital when it happened, so they were able to revive me, and I came out of it 100%. But those 2 days that I was passed out, I don't remember one thing. I just came out of it, and I was just into the paranormal, you know. And I started reading a lot of books. I watched. That what really got me hooked was I watched like the first 3 seasons of Ghost Adventures, okay? And I said, I gotta go out and I gotta do that. And so I started doing it. I bought my first digital recorder and I went on my first ghost hunt, and that's all I had. And then from there, I just kept on getting more equipment, getting more books, and learning more things. And here I am today, ghost hunting quite a bit, you know?
Where are some of the places that you've been to?
Oh, boy. So basically, pretty much all in the Southwest, because, you know, I'm afraid to fly. I don't want to fly. I don't like it. But I've been to Benson Castle numerous times. That's in Ione, California. I've been to the Kennedy Mine now in Jackson, California, twice. I've been to the Mizpah, I've been to the Clown Motel, I've been to the Goldfield Motel, I have been to hundreds of cemeteries. My gosh. I'm trying to think of where I haven't been that's around. There's plenty of places I do want to go, but if it's California, Nevada related, I've probably been there. I haven't been to Queen Mary or the Waverly House. And I have no interest in the Winchester Mystery House.
Yeah, I don't really have an interest in that one either. I think that one's, I don't really want to get into it on that one.
Yeah.
The Waverly House, though. I definitely want to go to the Waverly House. I had some weird dreams about that place.
Yeah, I know about those because you talked to me about it, and I'm very interested to see what comes out of that, especially in that you don't know anything about the past of that place, the history of it. I mean, you've really, really picked up on something. And you have an impressive gift, and so it would be very interesting to find out what else you pick up on when you get there.
So tell me about Penhurst Asylum.
Penhurst, I've never been to.
Oh, what asylum was it? I'm sorry.
Preston Castle.
Preston Castle, that's right. Yeah. I don't know why I have Penhurst in my head right now.
It's okay. It's no big deal. So Preston really enamored me when I watched season 2, episode 1 of Ghost Adventures, okay? You see this ominous building that's red and it looks like a castle, and you find out that it was a prison for boys, a reformatory. Basically, if a kid broke the law, they had an option. They could go to prison or they could go to this reformatory school and learn a trade, okay, but also kind of be taught in a military type of way. And what happened was these people, these kids that go there, some of them, they were dropped off by their parents because they couldn't afford to feed them, you know.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of different reasons why the boys were there. And immediately they walk into an office and they meet the warden. And then, he says whatever he says to them, does whatever he does.
And then scares the crap out of them.
You get your head shaved, okay? You get thrown into a live pool, a pool of lye, okay, to contaminate you. And you literally have to swim from one side to the other, okay? You get out and you're shaved, you know, just all this kind of stuff. And then you're thrown out to the wolves, basically. And the wolves weren't necessarily always the kids. It was guards. And the guards would beat them, like, to a pulp. And sometimes they died.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of really bad things happened there. But the building itself, if you ever look at it, it grabs you. It's like it's a living, breathing thing all in itself. At least it did me. And every time I go there, you get this ominous feeling. And, I've always been excited to take someone with a gift that can maybe read into those things a little bit more. I don't know if it's ever been done before. I'm sure it has, but I've never seen anybody do it. Just to see what they pick up on. Because I go through there, and when I've ghost hunted there, I've literally feel spirits try to enter my body all the time. All the time. The whole time I'm there. And I have to fight them off. I have to wear protection, things like that. And it's just a powerful place. Like I said, it's living and breathing all on its own. And it's, if you're a ghost hunter, I think you should go there, you know, just to try and experience, you know. Even if you can do the way they do the tours there, it's usually groups of five, and then they'll move them around. It's not like you can just go there and do your own thing unless you want to pay them a lot of money, which is cool too. But so they keep it kind of private, and you never really see the other groups except for the beginning and the end. And it's powerful when you're there during the day. It's not so ominous. It's not as ominous. But as soon as the sun starts to go down, you just feel this energy, this power. It's something else.
It's interesting you say that about daytime being just as haunted as nighttime, because for some reason we have this idea that a place is only haunted if we investigate at night, and that's simply not true.
Absolutely not. I'll be honest with you. I've got more evidence during the day than I ever have. Mm-hmm. I don't buy into that. Now, the witching hour and stuff, I could see, you know, what people, you know, some people believe that. I think they're there during the day. They're during the night. They're there all the time.
Yeah, I think so,
you know,
too.
Just whenever you decide to try and communicate with them. So.
And to be fair, I think some of these places would be better to investigate during the day. Just to give an example, the Washoe Club. I went there with Shane Pittman's group, and we were there at night, of course. I think it was over at 1 a.m., maybe. Somewhere around there, it was late, but there was a bar next door that, of course, they were really noisy and loud, and I just feel like we probably would have gotten a lot more had we been there during the day when it was quieter.
Yeah. But, oh, man. So those people interrupted. Oh,
this, yeah.
I didn't think about that. So there's a bar right next to, yeah. It's a rowdy town. So,
I didn't realize what a party town that place is.
Yeah.
For being a ghost town.
It's pretty wild. That's interesting. That's one place I haven't been. I've been to Virginia City once, and I made it to Mackey Mansion. And that's an interesting place. It's not very big, even though they, for the time, it was a mansion. But, you know, to today's standards, it's not. They take you on a historical tour there, and then they say, okay, do what you want. And they literally let you take equipment and just ghost hunt if you want. And it's during the day. You can't set it up for night. And it's interesting to, there's two little girls there, and they will literally try and hold your hand walk through the building, and they were the daughters of Mr. Mackey. It's that place isn't, there isn't anything malevolent there, unlike what you see on TV. And I normally don't run into anything malevolent, you know, and that's one thing that bugs me about TV is that it kind of distorts it and it makes
Everything's demonic. Right.
And I honestly, I to my knowledge, okay, and I'm not an expert and I don't think there are any experts in this field. I personally think that you're going to find what you're looking for sure. But really and truly, the spirits, they're not. At least in my experience. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not like out there looking for Zozo and all those kind of things. You know, I'm there to experience the history of a place, to learn about it, and to investigate what's there.
Right. I don't, the Washoe Club has some native entities in there.
It does?
Yeah. I mean, let me rephrase what I said earlier. We did pick up some evidence. Uh-huh. While we were there, we saw a lot of shadows. We saw balls of lights, things like that. I got touched on my shoulder, and somebody else in our group did too. And we both had the same experience because we were doing an experiment where we were sitting on the stairs by ourselves. Uh-huh. There was a room upstairs that they were particularly interested in. And I'm not sure why. I don't really know the story behind the club at all, other than a group of rich people used to be there as a club or something. That's really all I know about it.
So it's like a millionaire's club?
Yes.
So basically, it was two clubs. On the bottom, it was kind of just like a regular old saloon. But then at the upper level was where the big shops hung out and where all the prostitution happened and, where the big players, all the bad stuff happens.
All the bad stuff happens in the top rooms.
Yeah.
It's usually the basement, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a room that was right above the bar, unfortunately, and I know they were trying to catch something in there, and I really don't know why. I don't know the story behind this particular room and why they were focusing on it, but it did feel kind of heavy in there, but I couldn't focus on anything because it was so loud in the bar. And, they were trying to run equipment and everything, and it was just interrupted the whole time with screaming and hoo-hooing. And I think they were singing America the Great or something at one point. I don't know.
It must be
bunch of motorcycle people down there.
Wow. No, when you went into Virginia City, I mean, did you feel something different when you drove in there?
It feels like I was there before, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I don't know why. That place has, out of all the places in the Southwest, that one has really grabbed me. Like, it feels like I belong there for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, it's even gotten to the point where I'm looking for property there. I walked through the cemetery there, and I could totally see myself buried there. And it's just not a place, because I've always been a city girl. I love city life. You know, I've lived in a lot of different places, big cities, and it's just totally not a place I would ever dream myself to be captured by.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
When I went there, I came from California, so I came the Reno way. And you see Reno, and it's like this big town, And then you just start getting on these one-lane roads, and you keep on just go driving up and up and up, and you're like, oh, my gosh, where the hell is this place, And then you just see the sign, it's Virginia City. But then I'm like, where is it? And then you turn this corner, and it's like you're in the old west.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not like you're seeing Walmarts and Circle K's and 7-Elevens, okay? It's an old mining town. And you're like, wow. Because normally places you go, they have like the new stuff around them. No,
yeah.
This town it's an old mining town, And then, that cemetery, you go there and it's heavy. It has a heavy feeling,
And I could only stay in there for about an hour. I couldn't really, because it was just so bad. can't really explain it. I remember though standing up there, you know how there it's up on the hill and you can look over the town. It felt like spirits just stand there and overlook the town. Yeah. Like it's still their town or something.
Right.
Strange.
Yeah. And then, you know, like you stayed in Tonopah, which is one of my favorite places to ghost hunt. I mean, you got the Clown Motel, you got the Mizpah, you got the old Hostel Brewery. Okay. All these places are really, really old, and they have an energy to them. When you walk in there, the cemetery there is different than the Virginia City one, but I've literally felt cold spots all around me. Okay. And they're touching me. And then I look, and it's the graves of all the children that died.
There's a lot of kids there.
Holy crap. You know, that's the first time I ever felt a cold spot, you know? And it's just kind of powerful, especially the first time you experience something like that. You're just like, oh my gosh, you know? And then you get a millimeter, you know, and you stay and you can pick up on that. It's just...
Did you stay at Clown Motel?
No.
You just visited.
I'm more of a Mizpah kind of guy.
Yeah, me too. I was supposed to stay at the Clown Motel, and I pulled up and I looked at it and I thought, nah.
It's not.
I turned around and went to the Mizpah.
I mean, you know what? I would do it once, but you know, for me, it's a 7-hour drive. You know, and it doesn't look like it's going to be a very comfortable place.
Yeah. I just think of bugs or something. I don't know. It just looks like a shady place to me.
No offense to the owner. Okay.
It looks a little seedy.
But we'd love to investigate there. So yeah, but I don't know. The motel didn't really interest me. I went immediately to the cemetery, which is right next to it. You know,
which is kind of weird that there's a cemetery of all kids right next to a Clown Motel.
Yeah. That's what I love about that town, man. That's just how it is, you know. Let's just build a Clown Motel right next to a, I don't know, a 150-year-old cemetery. Sounds like a good idea.
Do you think that kind of speaks John Gacy or something weird like that?
I don't know.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Did he kill little boys too? Well, older boys, but... still, they're pretty young.
Yeah, it's hard to say, you know.
They killed kids.
Now, the Mizpah, I've never had any luck there at all.
Man, that's one of the most haunted places I've stayed in Nevada so far.
And see, that's the thing about ghost hunting. It drives me nuts sometimes. It's like, you told me about some of the stuff you got, and go ahead with it, but I've been on every floor. I've been down in the bar area, like, you know, when it's closed and stuff like that. I mean, I spent countless hours there. I've been there like 30 times at least, and I've never got one bit of evidence in that hotel ever, you know.
Man, that place, I didn't get any sleep the whole time I was there. The water faucet was turning on all night. I slammed the door at one point, and it ended up open again, and there's a latch on it. So there's no way. Heard my name a couple times that night. It was just creepy.
It does. Like I said, it has a vibe to it. But the vibe I kind of pick up on is just a busy one. I don't. It's like there's always something going on there. But I've never gotten any evidence. No spirit box. No EVP. Nothing. No millimeter. Nothing. I mean, so I don't know. For me, maybe that's just not the spot for me, but that's the fun in ghost hunting, you know, and that's why working with a group is always a good idea, because you can use their ideas. Maybe they pick up on things that you don't pick up on, you know?
Right.
So that one, we definitely need to get a team involved with that one. And you know, and like, I think you went down to the basement. I've never been down there.
Yeah. We did that the night before. It was neat. There's a lot going on down there. You know, of course, I told you stories about, I can't remember all the stories. One about a lady haunting the place in the basement. There was a kid, I think, that passed away. And there's actually like toys and stuff down there too. remember him by, like, you know, a little altar kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then they said that there was a murder down there where two guys tried to rob one of the safes. I get there's a mine down there. Like, there's an opening to where the mine used to be.
Yeah.
And so they had a big vault down in the basement where they would put the gold until they could, I don't know how they were doing it, loaded into a train or whatever it was they were doing. Maybe they had, I think they had a stock exchange there, actually.
Oh, really?
As well. But anyway, they couldn't, the story goes, they couldn't get into the vault because it was a solid metal door. And so these guys dug under the floor because it's a dirt floor and into the vault. And they got the money, and then the guy killed the other one because he wanted all the money for himself and then ran out. So that's the story.
So I heard the story a little bit different. They put the money to pay the guys, the miners, the next day. And the miners knew that all that money was in there. And they knew that that floor had dirt. And so they dug in there and got it. And then someone found out, and they found both those miners dead. Now, it's kind of normal in those mining towns for them to dig, you know, tunnels underneath all the buildings and do weird stuff like that. Which is another thing. It'd be interesting if those tunnels are there to be able to walk through those and investigate and see what you can come up on, because that's where all the shenanigans happen.
Well, I know the tunnel to the mine is still there. You can actually look down it.
And yeah, see, that would be interesting. And I don't think I've seen anybody do it. But that's what I love about that town. It's like, it's so old. It's got all that history. And be able to go through and do that kind of stuff would be fun, you know, kind of cheeky.
See, while you guys were in the big group of 75 people or more,
right,
messing around in that Goldfield Hotel, you should have been at the mitzvah.
Yeah,
yeah. Where all the activity was.
Yeah. Now, it's hard to get into the gold field, you know, but I got in it and I investigated. I got absolutely nothing. But, man, wouldn't it have been cool to be there the next day after 75 people were going through that building investigating? I bet you there was all kinds of, you know, all that energy that was passed through and stuff. And just to see, you know, what you get.
Well, that whole town is another one. It just sucks you in, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, certainly if you drive into that town and you turn that corner and you see the Goldfield Hotel, it's like a guy like me, I'm like, I got to get in. I got to see what's going on. So for you, it seems like it's easy. Like, you don't want to know anything about the history before you go there at all.
No.
Yeah.
And it's really easy in the Southwest because I don't really know anything out here.
Well, it's a perfect investigation. Yeah.
If it was the Southeast, you know, after being there for so many years, you get to know everything. It's kind of boring. So.
Yeah. So we've been to Armagosa and investigated there. And that's another place I've been to quite a few times. And I love that place. It doesn't have, it's different than all the others. It doesn't have a negative vibe to it. It doesn't have an ominous vibe to it.
It's disappointing that everybody tries to make it out that way, and it's not.
Yeah. It kind of has a positive vibe to it in a way. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm not, you know, I'm not an empath or anything, but when you go and ghost hunt enough in places, you pick up on things, you know, you feel things. And, but the only evidence I really experienced there was I stayed there one night and I had to get up really, really early the next morning, like 6 a.m. And I was there all day long. I got there, I checked in at 3 and I started doing my thing right away, and I went all the way till midnight, and I didn't do anything. I didn't get anything, and I was kind of frustrated. You know, I've been there so many times, and I'm like, I'm just convinced this place isn't haunted. You know, and so I go to bed, and I wake up about an hour later and I hear footsteps in the hallway and I hear a dragging sound. And it's kind of like there's like a couple steps and then you hear this, you know, kind of that noise. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I was the only one there because at that time it just opened because of the pandemic thing. And I was literally the only one there. That the person that runs the hotel leaves at 9 o'clock and they go home. And so I'm like, I know there's nobody here, but I open the door and I get my flashlight and I shine it down the hallway. I mean, there's nobody there, you know? And so I go back to bed because I got to get up so early. And a little bit later, I hear scratching. And I'm like, you know, so I go out and I check again and there's nothing there. And it's just kind of weird. I wonder sometimes if maybe I wear too much protection. Maybe that's why I don't pick up on things. So I'm starting to experiment with that, you know. But I know the place has something going on there. But exactly what, I don't know. Maybe we're not in the right place, you know. Maybe the hotel isn't necessarily where it's all at.
I had a couple experiences when we were there.
Yeah.
So I stayed the night when we went, and I had one of those cat balls on the desk. Remember there was a desk right across the bed?
Yes.
So something had woke me up in the middle of the night and the ball was going off. Of course, I need to have a video in the room from now on for stuff. I did hear stuff out in the hallway. It wasn't a drag. I don't know what it was, actually. It was like shuffling or walking or something. So my room was right where, what do you call that? Where that mirror is?
Oh, so that's Spooky Hollow.
Okay.
So, yeah, the hotel is kind of broken up into two sections. And it's one long hallway. And then at the end of the hallway, there's a mirror. And then there's the other side of the hotel, which is not you're not allowed to go. It's sealed off. And the owner requested that in the last way. She wanted the spirits to be able to do their thing there. And she wanted them left alone. So we're not allowed to go, you know. And then, you can stay on the other side, and there's rooms that they claim are haunted and whatnot. But I think all the activity is probably going on in that spooky hollow, you know, which I don't know. I mean, in my research that I've done about the place, I've really found out that hotel wasn't really around a whole lot when the mining was going on. They all lived out in tents, you know?
Right. And
so, you know, the real way to go investigate it, I think, is to find out exactly where those tents were and investigate there, you know?
We did. We walked on them.
Yeah.
You know, when we saw the horses, they're back in that direction.
Okay.
They're back there. That's where I picked up on it anyway. I'm pretty sure that's where they are.
So, I don't know. But, like I said, I have experienced things there. You've experienced things there. So, it's hard to say.
It's a strange... I wonder if that hallway, because didn't you say there was a hospital or something? So, what I saw of the place that was, like, meetings and church and, like, some kind of little shop or something.
Yeah, so... And when the place was built, it had obviously what is now the Opera House, okay? And that was more of like a civic center where people could go. Sometimes it was churches. Sometimes they had funerals there. It was a place for people to gather. And then kind of next to that, that's where the hospital and the morgue were, okay? Then you got all the hotel rooms. And at the end, kind of by the main office, there was a post office there.
So maybe that hallway was part of the hospital. Somehow.
Yeah, the hallway, like, so you got the dining area, and then you got the office, then you got the post office, then you got that big long hallway. That's all just rooms, okay, where people stay. And then when we were there, we kind of walked in the corridor. And when you come to the end of the corridor and you're going to turn right towards the Opera House, that's where the hospital is. It's right there. and then the morgue. You know, it's like a hospital morgue combo. And then maybe there was like a shot. There might have been like a shock or something. I know the area where we heard that sound.
Right, so right.
We heard something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was.
It sounded weird, whatever it was.
Yeah. It's like a scraping sound, something like
yeah, that. Yeah. Some kind of, it almost sounded like a woman or a kid or. And it was the same sound that kind of woke me up later that same night. But I can't say what it was exactly. There were other things that we experienced that night. Remember when we were doing the EVP session, we caught some interesting things on the spirit box. Yeah. And then the ball would go off with it. And then your EMF went off with it.
Yeah. In that room, we got some one-word answers, you know. They were pretty clear, though, and it was a direct answer to a question I asked. I don't quite remember what it was, but we did get a smack. We did.
It's pretty interesting. It's not smack in your face, haunted, though.
No. I mean, it's not. And I don't know. I guess when you do this enough and you're not catching disembodied voices, you're not. I don't. It's not as exciting, you know. EVPs are cool, but you get to the point where you kind of want to bump up to the next level. You know what I mean? You want something more. I don't think it's the place for that. You know, it's a place like Preston Castle, it's an ominous energy type of place, and you get disembodied voices. You see shadow figures. You see these. You know, I don't know. If it's, of course, more people go there, there's more energy that runs through the place. But Armagosa, it's different.
It's quiet.
It's not haunted, but it's not as exciting, I guess.
Yeah. It's definitely, I thought it was a place, it's very restful there.
It is.
I remember it was so cold, though, and that heater thing in my room didn't work. So I had every layer of, for some reason, I always end up getting a room where the heater doesn't work. It happened in Virginia City recently, too. What? With that.
That's like
paranormal con.
Pretty much.
It was so cold that night. I thought I was going to die. I actually went to my car and turned the heater on for a little bit.
Yeah, it was so cold. Really windy and really cold.
So what about this mine?
So Kennedy Mine is another, it doesn't have an ominous feeling or anything, but the first time I investigated there, it was back in October, and I kind of lucked out. I contacted their paranormal group there just to see when they did stuff. They said, oh, we're ghost hunting tonight. I said, really? I said, I'm going to be in town, you know, so... You mind if I tag along with you guys? And they're like, no problem. Well, come to find out that it's the last investigation of the season, and that investigation is set aside just for the docents. So these are the people that watch crazy people like me all year long. Okay. The ghost hunt. They get to ghost hunt, and I get to be with them, you know? And so I immediately, this one lady named Gail, she just had an act. She was like, yeah, you're really into that. Like, yep. So, well, let's go here. So I had about 2 hours, and we went into the mine office. And I've had all my gear on me. I kind of carry it on my big bar. And so I'm filming, and I'm doing EVP, and I'm doing, sometimes I can do spirit box all at once if I want to. You know? And then I'll usually have...
So you got a cool setup on yours.
You know, I just want everything at once, so I don't have to fumble for stuff. I hate doing that, you know? So I've got my setup, and Gail is standing in front of a mirror, and she's scrying. And the way she scries is... She's got those divining rods. What are they called? The rods that move. They used to.
Yeah, they're divining rods.
Yeah. So she's got those, and she's trying to communicate with the rods, but she's scrying into the mirror, you know. And I'm like, well, this is kind of interesting. I've never seen somebody do it that way, but let's just check it out. And so I'm watching her through my IR camera, right? Literally, and. I'm watching what she's doing, and she's out saying, all right, you know, she asks the question, and she says, move the rods in for yes or out for no or whatever, okay? And so I'm watching, and on my screen, which is black and white, a huge blue orb, and I'm not talking dust, okay? I'm talking a big round ball, I'd say about 4 inches in diameter, flies in the back of her neck. And I'm like, what the hell, you know? And I'm just kind of blown away, you know? And I see her kind of move. And so I'm still watching her. And then a couple seconds later, she asks a question. And two bigger orbs fly into her back. And I see her really buckle, you know? Like, and I'm like, what's going on? And then the next thing I know is I feel spirit trying to enter me, okay? And
what does that feel like?
It's an uncomfortable feeling. I tingle when it happens. I don't get hot or anything, but it's like an electrical charge goes pulsates through your body, and you can feel it coming through you. They try and enter through my back or from the side sometimes, and wherever they're trying to do it, that you feel that charge. And it made me sick. I literally had to go outside and get some fresh air. And that was the experience I had there because I only had so much time. And so I just recently got a second chance to go back. And I tell you, only thing that happened to me was they sucked the life out of my batteries. I mean, left and right. And, you know, we couldn't get EVP. We couldn't get anything. But I mean, we'd set a camera out, you know, like a static camera, battery died almost immediately. We go to do a baseline, okay, with an EMF detector, you know, battery dies, you know. And we literally, to get the baseline done, it took us 2 hours because we kept on, you know, whatever equipment we had, they just sucked the life out of the batteries, you know. And so that must have been fun for them. It wasn't so fun for me.
He was trying to film stuff, right?
Yeah, we were trying to film. I mean, we had a pretty decent plan, and it just didn't work out. So we're going back, and I believe you're joining us. And
yes, I'll be there this time.
And there's a lot of it's kind of like a paranormal Disneyland, okay? Because you've got the mine office, and that's what gets the most attention, okay? But there's also the miners there. Before they went to work and after the work, they had to shower, and they had to shower naked in front of a guard, okay? They always wanted to make sure that they didn't have anything that they were going to steal with, and then when they were done, they were making sure they didn't have anything that they were going to, you know, steal the gold, you know? And I hear there's a lot of activity there. There's also a shed there that Evan and I investigated a little bit, and it's where all the shenanigans happen, where all the poker games and all the, you know, the action, you know, the prostitutes and things like that. There's so many interesting things I've heard of happen there, but we haven't been able to get it. One interesting thing that did happen, we were in that shed, and we had an obelisk, and the name Saliman came out, S-A-L-I-M-A-N. And I looked at the dictionary, my obelisk, it's that word is not working. And Gail, the docent, was asking, you know, you told me your first name, but you haven't told me your second name, your last name. And so we look it up, and that last name is from Pakistan, okay, or the Philippines. And that would have been in line with the type of guys that were working in the mines, that last name. So it could have been a communication to her, which was interesting. But we had a lot of technical problems, and it happens, you know. I mean, if you ghost hunt enough, it's not like TV where, you know, you see something left and right.
Where everything's perfect, yeah.
I mean, there's always problems. There's always scheduling stuff, and sometimes you just don't get it.
Yeah, sometimes you'll just sit for hours, and you might get just one little thing.
Yeah. Being a paranormal investigator is, okay, it's not like TV. It's going to be a lot of sitting in the dark talking to yourself. Investigating, you know?
I think we just went through something like that. We went on a private investigation of a town. Can't disclose that just yet. But man, we sat for hours in a dark room and only caught maybe a couple of things, which is still interesting, but
yeah. Well, I got to compliment you. You're really good at getting EVPs. You get them all the time, and it's impressive. I don't want to ruin it, but we were all sitting in this little jail. And it's kind of to paint a picture. I mean, when you think of a jail, you think of kind of a big building. This was more like a shed, and I mean, you know, you look at it from the outside, and you're like, "That's a jail? What?" You know, I mean, it looks more like a federal than a jail, you know. But
it was a federal jail, nonetheless.
Oh my gosh, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody told me that later on, and I was just like, "You're kidding? No, that's they would hold the minors there as federal prisoners until they could get them." Wherever they sent them. I don't know where they would send them.
It's like a wood building, you know? it does have brick where the cells are, right? Those are, and the walls are kind of coming apart. It's like together with a piece of chain or something. kind of. And so, you know, we're sitting in there and, you know, we're just chilling, asking questions, you know, doing burst sessions, blah, blah, blah. I remember you got some answers, and I don't want to ruin the evidence, okay? But then we get done, and you're like, "Brian, go back in there by yourself." I'm like, "Hey, no problem. I've been doing this a while." So I go in there, and I sit down, and so we had the chair right by the door to enter the place. And on either side of you, there's these locked cells, and it's pitch black. And I'm in there by myself, and I don't scare too easy, but I was thinking to myself, if something says something to me in one of these cells, I'm going to scream. You know what I mean? And nothing did. Nothing happened. I did, I think, like 3 or 4 burst sessions. I didn't get anything, but I'm thinking in my head, man, just don't. This is not the time for a disembodied voice. This is just not time, you know? And that ride, that was exciting. That was fun. You know, I enjoyed that. So we got to lock me in another jail again, you know, just to see how it goes.
So I actually stayed the night in that jail right where you're talking about. And it's scary. It really is. When I was there, I asked the question, which is why I wanted to go back to that particular location. I asked, did you kill somebody? And on an EVP, as plain as day, you hear, yes. And then I asked something about, well, you know, I asked a couple more questions related to the topic, and the person, the same voice said, again, deserved it. Just like that, deserved it. So I don't, yeah.
That's pretty good evidence right there. I mean, was it a direct response?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to the questions I was asking.
Or were you just doing a burst session?
No, they're EVPs.
Okay.
Yeah, it was on the recorder, EVP recorder.
So that other interesting place in this ominous town that we can't even talk about was in the shop. It was, we're sitting there, and I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, we literally heard footsteps outside the door, and there was nobody out there.
Right.
That's pretty significant. That's not your normal stuff that you hear. You know, you might hear a knock, or, you know, you might get a one word answer, but I mean, something was walking across that. It was like a wood plank area, mm-hmm. right outside that door. Something walked across there. We, all three of us heard it.
And what's interesting about it is that there is nobody in that town.
Yeah.
So there wouldn't have been anybody walking around that particular area. There's nobody. There's no houses. There's nothing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cool place. It really is. So,
Brian, what do you think of all this spirit activity? Do you think these are humans that are stuck here trying to work out their own emotional issues? Do you think that they're demons walking around? What's your theory on the whole thing?
It's really hard to say that. What I think it is, you know, I think that there's people when they die, whatever happens, I don't know what happens for sure. I have an idea. I think that there's probably some kind of light that they see, and either they decide they don't want to go to it and they stay where they're at, or, you know, some people go through that light, and whatever happens to that light, nobody knows. But I think that's more or less what they are, is they're spirits that just, they're afraid of whatever it is, or they're afraid that they're so attached to wherever they're at that they can't go. I also think that these spirits, energy, whatever they are, I think they can be in multiple places at the same time. I think they are energy. I think when you pass, your energy, you know, how you become that, I don't know. But that's what I personally.
It's interesting, right? So what's your advice for anyone who wants to get into paranormal investigating?
Be ready to spend a lot of money. Okay.
How many drones have you been through now?
Three. Well, two of them I still have. So I got Bob back. So I wrecked Bob. But Bob is, he's running again. So I got it. You know what? I'd say if you're going to get into this field, don't buy into what you see on TV. Okay. Just get a K2 and a digital recorder and go to these places. Don't be stupid. Okay. And start trying to talk to demons and stuff. Just sit there and listen, you know, and embrace where you're at and feel the energy of it and be respectful. I guarantee you, they'll connect with you in some way, and I think we all have different gifts, you know, which is the coolest part about it. When doing this, the coolest people I've ever met in my life.
It's a little on the weird side, but that's true.
Definitely weird. I'm weird, but you know, they're real genuine people. As far as I've seen, the most genuine people I've ever met in my life. So go into it, you know, kind of don't be looking for demons, okay? Just look to be excited to see what's out there, learn the history of the place, and just experience it. Like I said, you don't need an SLS camera when you're starting out. All you need is a digital recorder and a K2. That's really all you need.
Yeah, I think we get really overburdened with some of that equipment stuff that we kind of miss. I think we miss a lot because of it.
Fumbling around with it and stuff, yeah. I mean, I honestly don't even kind of hunt with my setup that I used to do. I mean, I went today. I was just ghost hunting today, and all I took with me was a K2 and a digital recorder. That was it. Oh, and an SB7. Sorry, yeah. So three things. And I got two decent EVPs. You know, so one of them was my buddy that passed away. I said my name.
But
I'll have to talk to you about that later.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So. I can't wait to hear that story. But Brian, thank you for taking the time to be a guest on this episode of Small Town Tales podcast. What do you have coming up?
I'm a huge fan of this show, so to be honest, it's like a tremendous honor. So thank you for having me. It really means a lot to me. It's an honor.
Real quick, where do people find you?
So you can reach me by email at paramigos@gmail.com. Okay. You can also reach me on the Small Town Adventures Facebook page. You can friend me I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook. That's the way to get a hold of me.
All right. Until we meet again.
Peace.